Saturday, December 9th, 2017, interviewing Lily B. Douglas Calhoun, my aunt. Say hello.
Hello, Anita.
Okay, Auntie B. You told me you were 18 years old when you moved to Gary. So tell me about that. What made you decide to move to Gary?
Well, my father had passed in the last of August. And my mother's parents were in Gary and Ann, and they suggested that she move here where her family was.
Okay, tell me your father's name.
My father was Booker Douglas.
And how did he pass?
He passed by, he had a car accident.
Okay. And how old was your mother when her husband passed away? Y'all know? 30s?
I think she was in her 40s.
40s? Okay. Tell us your mother's name.
My mother was Eula Douglas, and she was pregnant with the last baby. She was 7. He was born in October.
So in August, you moved to Gary?
No, we moved to Gary in December of that year.
So he was born down south?
Yes.
Oh, see, all this time I thought he was born in Gary, like the rest.
No, he was 2 months old, 3 when he came to Gary.
Okay, so tell me what you thought about Gary when you came
here. I thought it was the coldest place I'd ever been because I was from the south.
What part of the south?
Tennessee.
Okay. What part of Tennessee?
Area of Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
It was called Atoka, Tennessee. About 30 miles out of Memphis.
Oh, so it wasn't a real town?
No, little town. Small town.
All right. So what did y'all do in Atoka, Tennessee?
Farming.
Did you like it?
Not really, but that was the way of life.
What did y'all farm?
Oh, we did have a garden.
Vegetable garden?
Vegetable garden and cotton.
Mm-hmm. So you was a cotton picker?
Yes.
How's that?
Well, I do remember when I was able to pick 100 pounds, I was very proud.
How old were you?
Oh, I was 16.
Wow. 100 pounds in one day?
Yes.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy, crazy. So, you moved to Gary. It was very cold. You said December?
Yes.
You know what year that was?
1944.
December 1944. Cold. So what'd you do when you got to Gary?
Well, I was soon able to get a job in a factory store. It was called Factory Store, the canteen and the meal.
So you were a cashier?
No, I was a waitress.
Oh, waitress. Oh, were you any good at that?
Yes.
You are very friendly. I will say that. Did you get big tips?
No.
Small tips?
Small tips, if any.
They were working people.
Well, we really worked across the counter. We didn't actually serve tables.
Oh, they ordered the food and you gave it to them. Oh, so like more like carry out.
Well, no, they ate there.
Oh.
Because this community where the canteen where I was working, they had a lot of Mexicans had just come into the city.
Uh-huh.
And their favorite meals were red beans and rice, pork chops. But you were served. They had tables for you to sit at.
To eat.
But you served from the counter.
You know, that is so funny because I made red beans Wednesday night, and I stopped at the Chinese store on my way home to get rice because I didn't feel like going to waiting for the rice, because I put the beans in the crock pot so they would be ready when I got home from work. So this from 1944 to 2017 is still one of my favorite meals, red beans and rice.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. So when you were working as a waitress, is that where you met your husband? Is that where you met your husband?
Oh, no, I met him as a child.
Oh.
When I was in high school and he was in the service.
Uh-huh.
And that's when we start. So.
Wait, okay, so
back up.
Because I do not know your life story. I'm just realizing that. I thought you met him up here. You knew him down south.
Mm-hmm.
And he followed you up here? Girl, come on, tell it. You gotta tell it. Say yes, say no, don't tell me to stop. You gotta talk. It's recording. You can't just shake your head. Okay, so how old were you when you met him?
Well, really, I would say I was about when we start, you know, corresponding, because he was in service. That's when we really, I met him as a child. Uh-huh. We used to go to the same church. But,
excuse me, he went to church?
Yeah. His family was a church family.
I did not know that.
Yeah, his mother and my father was a preacher. Uh-huh. His mother was a missionary, and they worked together.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You live long enough, you find stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when he went to the military, you correspond?
Yes.
What kind of correspondence? What was it about?
We would just write letters to each other.
Like, I love you,
oh,
or I miss you.
I didn't tell him that, but when he would write a letter, he would put different headings at the top, like, on each page, like, B, and the next page, sweet, and dear.
Oh, he was being slick.
Uh-huh.
All right, so say his name. Your husband's name was what?
William. William Calhoun.
Okay. So how long was he in the military?
3 years, I think, and 6 months.
So when he got out, then y'all got married?
Yeah, he came to Gary.
He came straight to Gary, or he went home first?
I think he came to Gary first. And we got married July the 12th, 1945.
Wow. Okay, so did you feel like you were ready to marry him? Were you, like, in love with him, or you was like, it'll work out?
Well, I thought this was the thing to do. Uh-huh. I had promised him that I would marry him, so, and at that time, I had another boyfriend who was in the Navy.
And still corresponding?
Yes, yeah, still corresponding with him. And they were all, he was coming home, and I had met one here.
So you had three men at the same time. That sounds very dangerous. Okay. Wait a minute, back up. Let's go back to the one in the Navy. You didn't like him that much?
No, I loved, that was remember my first boyfriend. I liked him.
And where did you meet him, Dr. Dr.?
In school, yeah, as a child.
Okay, so why did you marry him?
Well, he didn't get here first. He was coming, he said, but he didn't really say marriage.
Oh, and so you didn't really believe it was going to be,
uh-huh,
like, permanent. It was just, I like you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what about the one you met here in Gary?
Well, that was a big decision. Although he had not asked me to marry him, but he said if I had known you were ready to marry, I would have. You know,
really?
Afterwards.
Okay. So did you run into him a lot?
Several times.
And was he looking at you like, girl?
Yes.
And how did you look back at him?
The same way.
Like, I love you too.
Uh-huh.
And did your husband notice?
No, he didn't know.
Okay. Okay.
That was.
Well, one thing I do know is that y'all did end up in love.
All right. We stayed together 60 years. Through it all.
Ready to be a mom?
No. We didn't know very much about that, so, I mean, I didn't get much prenatal care, and we lost our first baby.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I lived 3 days.
Oh, boy?
Uh-huh.
What did you name him?
Don't
remember.
Yeah. E-L. That's because his name was E, because my mother-in-law had said, well, name him E.L., because my mother was named Eula, and she was named Moses Lee, so that would put both names in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
So then, but then, when you decided to have another baby, you did do prenatal care?
Yes.
Okay. And?
My doctor was Dr. Mossman. He delivered both babies.
Eric came first.
Eric first.
Then Cheryl. Oh, wait, there's somebody at the door. We'll continue in a minute. Even after you get married?
No.
Oh, until you got married. And then once you got married, he was like, enough.
Well, he was, whenever we would run into each other, anything, you know, he would say, I sure didn't know you were ready to marry or something like that.
Okay, Miss
Auntie
B, I don't know. Okay, so let's talk about your kids. How did you like being a mom? What was the best thing about being a mom? Because you was, I think you was an overprotective mom.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. Don't you? You followed your baby to school walking behind.
Oh, you remember me saying that?
Come on, tell the story. Come on. What happened?
And Eric said, I saw you sneaking in behind at me.
When he started walking to school by himself, you were supposed to let him walk by himself. Right. But you couldn't.
And I didn't know he knew it.
But you couldn't. Why? What did you think?
I just wanted to make sure he was safe.
Okay, so then you found out he was safe. Now, was you like that with Cheryl?
No, I didn't do her quite that bad. I guess that he must have taught me.
Well, how many years in between Eric and Cheryl?
The 18 months.
Okay. Oh, 18 months. Okay. So one boy, one girl.
Now, like the other one, it was about 5 years.
Oh, between the first one and Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then once you started having kids, you had them right away, and then that was it. But then you got grandkids. Right.
Yeah.
How do you like that? Okay, let's start with the first one, Aisha. So tell me about that.
Well, I spent as much time, Eric brought her home. He was in school in Ohio. He brought her home. Which is about 3 months.
Uh-huh. And that was the first time you saw her?
Yes, sir.
And? Like, did you feel like this is like a grandmother feeling? Like, did you get that? It's not my child. It's better than my child. It's a grandchild. Did you have that feeling? And then it was a long time before you started. So Cheryl had the boys. Right?
Was
it a long time? How many years? It might be some years in between.
What?
Between Aisha and Aaron. But it was a while in between. And now, last year, right, 2017.
Yes, this year.
Oh, 2017, right. May 2017.
Great grand.
And how you feel about that?
Well, you should have one.
Oh, yeah, but that baby
lost the
baby. Yeah. But now, Michael. Mm-hmm. All right, so you have four.
And Aisha, they adopted a baby. They have a baby.
Yeah, so let me back up a little. Let's go to interracial relationships. Because Cheryl, I think Cheryl was the first person in our family to marry a white man, right?
Yeah.
Ken. So, and that was 1977, 78? It was in the 70s.
Yeah.
Well, that was a big deal. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
How did you, come on, let's talk about it. Because it was like, it wasn't a bad thing, but it was like a ooh thing.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I was very concerned. I talked with his mother, and I told him we were poor people, because I thought everybody out east was rich.
Oh, okay.
And the ordinary people. She said, well, it's all right with me. If that's Kenny, that's him, and I know he has his mind, and whatever he wants to do, it's all right with me.
So you thought they weren't going to accept your daughter?
Uh-huh.
But you had accepted him. Did you? Or you were thinking about, when you first, like, so when she said, I got a white boyfriend, what was your first thought?
That was Cheryl, because she always had a man of her own.
Okay, so you didn't even, it didn't even faze you. She was going to do what she was going to do. That's true, though. I'm going to agree with you there. So then you thought maybe his family won't accept her, but they seemed nice from the very beginning.
Yes.
So it wasn't none of that, like, well, we got to work into liking each other.
No.
But that was good, because that was the first one. And then now Aisha's married to a white man. How's that? What do you think about that?
Oh, they don't.
Good.
Very caring person.
Okay. So, we don't have race issues.
Uh-huh.
I've never felt, I mean, like, I was amazed, right? But I never felt anything other than that. Just amazed, like, at the beginning, you know? Right? And then Daniel, he's married to Emily, she white. How was that? But they rich.
Yeah.
You don't think so? They just got a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we did the interracial. We did your background. What about work? Oh, okay. Wait. So, for the people listening, Auntie B worked at my high school when I was in school. She was a nurse aide. That was the best thing ever to have my aunt at my school.
Oh.
Wasn't it great?
Yes, it was great.
No, I'm saying, like, if I had a headache or I wasn't feeling well, I could just go to the nurse office, and she knew I wasn't fake. Because did we come in there? Now, come on, be honest. We never came in there faking phony, did we?
No.
And we didn't come asking for a dollar or nothing like that.
That's right, that's right.
Maybe unless we really, really needed it for something we had to pay for.
Yeah, I have a few kids. You know,
weren't
my relatives, but they caught on,
like,
you know, if they could get
in
their age, they would do it.
Yeah. No, but it was really nice, and everybody was like, I love your auntie. Like, all my friends, I think, were, like, so, like, jealous that you were so nice to everybody. You know what I mean? And they were like, that's your auntie? And I'm like, yep, that's my auntie. You know, never, and we just never had any, like, nobody said, oh, your aunt's this. She's mean. Nobody ever said that.
Oh.
You know? I think Miss Eureka was the one we said. But it was so good having you there. And then Valita would call you for a ride because she wasn't walking her heels. Remember that?
Oh.
You don't remember that?
Mm-hmm.
She used to call you sometimes for a ride. Cause that was like 35 years ago. She might not remember. Okay, what else do you want to record? That was just heartwarming for me. Yeah. Miss Calhoun.
I didn't know you were that excited, okay? You know, I was in the school with you.
Yeah.
That was precious.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like a huge school. How many people were there with that? Like 2,000?
About 4,000
kids. So it wasn't like we were going to be running into each other all the time, but it was just nice to know that, you know, I had family there. I don't know, but it was just a good thing. And then when people would say, that's your auntie, I'm like, yeah, that's my auntie, that's my daddy's sister. That was cool.
We did share a lot of good times together. I do remember your prom dress.
That was like a family story that I don't know. But I wanted this dress from Burn Burr Downtown Gary. It was $225 in 1982. That's a lot of money in 1982. $225. And that's how spoiled I was. I got the dress. She bought me the dress.
What was the name?
Burn Burr. That was the name of the store.
Okay.
And it was white, and it had a baby blue, like, waistline. And so I said, I need a dress for the cotillion and for prom. And so the lady at the store said, well, we could take out the blue for prom and put white, and you can have it. You'll have it for both. The prom came first. So I went to the prom, came back, took the dress. She
put the white in, and I wore it to the cotillion. So I think that's why I ended up getting the dress, because I only got one. I didn't get a prom dress and a cotillion dress. And then 4 years later, Dara was in the cotillion, and she took the dress and sold it to a dress store. The end of story.
Oh, that was a big story.
Yeah, the end of story.
You were so mad with Dara.
Right, because it wasn't her dress. And remember, too, this is why I was really mad at her, because I said, I'm going to wear it to prom cotillion, and I'm going to get married in this dress.
Oh.
And so when I got engaged, that's when I asked her for the dress. I